Praise God. Let's turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. We're going to continue on in the same series we've been on for the past couple Sundays, The Lord That Healeth. And this will be part 3. We've been starting off with Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. I'm just going to read that verse, but then we're going to go into John chapter 9. But this is a verse, again, give you a bit of the background. Children of Israel just came out of Egypt after 400 years of slavery. Came out of Egypt, went across the Red Sea, and as they came to a place to get some water, the Bible says the waters were bitter. The place was called Marah. And then the children of Israel start to complain, start to grumble against Moses and against God. And Moses went to God and said, "Lord, what do we do?" And God said, "Take a tree and cut down and throw into the water." And the Bible says that Moses did that, and the waters were healed. And we've mentioned a number of times, healing is always associated, or I don't know about always, but many times in Scripture, is associated with a tree. Jesus hung on the tree and bore our sicknesses, the Bible tells us. And so we see these things down through Scripture. And then in the last part of that verse, God was speaking to them, and the Lord said, "If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and do that which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes," he said, "I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians." Notice here, "for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Now you know the story of the plagues that came upon Egypt and the problems that they had as they fought against God and God's plan. And there's a number of different plagues that came upon Egypt. And the last one was death of the firstborn. And this is what we call the Passover, because God told him to take a lamb, sacrifice a lamb, put the blood on the doorpost. And he said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over your house." And the death angel will pass over. So God reveals here, he said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." I mentioned before, the word heal there is Rapha, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. And this is the second time healing is mentioned in Scripture, but it's the first time associated with God's name, and where God revealed himself as the Lord that heals. The first time was mentioned is when Abraham prayed for Abimelech, and the Bible says the Lord healed him. And that was back in Genesis, I think, chapter 20 or something like that, somewhere back there. But here, this is in Exodus, after they crossed the Red Sea, and God revealed himself as a Lord that heals. Now this is about 400 years after the first time healing was mentioned. And for all that time, we don't hear anything. But the Bible does tell us that when he came out of Egypt that night, and as he crossed the Red Sea, there was not one feeble person in all their tribes. There's about 2 million people there. And apparently they must have been all healed, because I'm sure if you had two million people, there's going to be a lot of sicknesses and diseases. And, you know, cities the size of Toronto, there's a lot of sicknesses and diseases there. But as they came out from Egypt, the Bible says there was not one feeble among their tribe. And so anyway, before we go any farther, let's bow together and ask God's direction. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the healing virtue of Jesus. So thankful, Lord, for the plan of salvation. And Father, we believe, Father, from reading your word, Lord, that when Jesus paid for our sins, he also paid for our sicknesses. And Lord, your word tells us the very same words, the very same thing that he did with our sins, he did with our sicknesses as well. He bore them and he carried them and he took them out of the way. So Father, we believe, Lord, that your word teaches that healing is in the atonement, as part of the covenant that we're living in today. And Father, help us, Lord, to get our thinking lined up with the word of God. And Father, that we might see more healings take place in our physical bodies and those of our loved ones. Father, we just ask that you would guide us and direct us now as we look into the word of God. May we see things in this, Lord, that would help us to grow. And Lord, to put your word into practice. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. John chapter 9. And I don't know how far we're going to get today. I got four or five passages here I want us to go through. And I was going to put them, I got them up there on screen, but I think we just read them from the word. Get the Bible out and follow them through, because it's easier, at least I find, is when you see it in God's word, you believe it more than just seeing it on a screen somewhere. Okay, that could be Reader's Digest up there, but this is God's word. Okay, so let's believe what we believe from God's word. Okay, understand that? John chapter 9, And actually, just to give you a little background, to chapter 9, when Jesus, in John chapter 8 there, Jesus healed different people. Jesus, remember the story of the woman taken in adultery? That just took place here in this chapter before this. This is in the temple area, and Jesus went through these things, and the people got mad at Jesus. The Jewish people, the Pharisees, got mad at Jesus, and the Bible says they took up stones to throw at him. And you know the story of Jesus passed through the midst of them and went on. But as he left the temple area, now some people see a parallel in this when God left the Jews, so to speak, because they had rejected him. This is one of the places where they say that Jesus was rejected, and Jesus went on and ministered to someone else. And you find that in the scripture, and you find it even in Paul's ministry. Paul went into a synagogue, the Bible says, to preach, and the people got mad and fought against him. So Paul said, from now on, he said, I'm going to the Gentiles. And there's parallels here, but we're not going to look at that part of it this morning. But I do want us to go down through this chapter, the first few verses anyway, and we may read a few more besides the ones that just got written up there. But let's see what God's Word has got to say. And sometimes when we look in God's Word, there are questions answered in other stories as you're reading them through it. All of a sudden it gives insight into something. And so in this passage right here, sometimes when you talk to people about sicknesses or healing or whatever the case might be, people say, well, is this sickness a judgment from God? Or is this something God has put up on me because of something I've done? Or is this something that God is trying to teach me, through this sickness? And hopefully this passage here will shed a little bit of light on that this morning. Because there's a lot of people that think that, God, took this one, or God did this to someone, God put something on someone. I've heard people, over the years that have had little children that have, born sick or died or whatever the case would be. Well, God did that, because he was trying to teach me something. Man, if I was teaching my children by killing them or killing somebody in the family, I'd be strung up and put in jail. Yet for all, we blame God for doing stuff like that. We need to balance out what God says in his word. Okay, and we need to understand as well that we are living in a new covenant. Okay, a lot of times you read things that happen under the old covenant, and people say, "Well, that wasn't God's nature." Okay, God was dealing with sin. It was God's nature in regards to sin. God was dealing with sin, and sometimes God dealt drastically with sin under the old covenant because sin wasn't paid for. But we're living in a new covenant when sin has been already dealt with. We need to understand that the Bible says Jesus came and condemned sin in the flesh. He came and dealt with sin. He said what the law couldn't do, God did by sending his son. And his son came and condemned sin in the flesh. Back under the old covenant, sin wasn't condemned. It was still there. It was always being piled up and piled up. Every year there was a sacrifice just to cover it up for another year. It was like sweeping dirt under the rug. Eventually, you're going to have to get in under that rug and take it out. If not, you're going to have problems. So this is what was happening. For centuries, the sin was just covered, was covered, was covered. But the Bible says Jesus came and washed it away. Okay, there's a big difference. And we don't have time to get into that. We've already gotten into some of that teaching in the past. But there's a big difference between what we're living in the new covenant than what they lived under the old covenant. Now, so the Jews had a notion, and a lot of people still got the notion today, that if somebody is sick, well, he must have done something wrong. They must have sinned, or there must be something in their family, or must be something that their parents did, or something like that, that brought this sickness upon them. Okay, now we've all heard people talk like that. Okay, now, what did Jesus say about a situation here? Because the disciples had the same idea. And if you go back I was reading a number of commentaries a week about it, and they were saying that the Jews, and Josephus was saying that the Jews had a belief, and even some of it is carry over today, even into some Eastern religions, reincarnation. You lived before your time now in another life, and any trouble you're going through now is a result of something you did back in the other life. Get real. Wake up and realize what's going on here. The devil will do anything just to blind people and throw a loop in something. And if he can just put one thought in your mind, it's all it takes sometimes to ruin you for the rest of your life. And we need to get rid of some of these foolish thoughts and base what we believe on God's word. Okay, now let's look at this, John chapter 9. So Well, let's look at the previous chapter. Verse 58, and Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Okay, this made the Jews mad. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, you can understand from what we're just saying, here's a fellow born blind. Did he sin? How could you sin before you're born? You know, I mean, just use common sense. Some people say, well, no, what they meant there is, you know, God already knew the sins he was going to commit in the future, so therefore God, you know, put sickness or put blindness upon him as a punishment for the sins. That's not based in Scripture anywhere. Okay, that's just people's thinking. That's not based on Scripture. Now, but here's the thing about it. They said, Master, who sinned, this man, before he's born, or because he was born blind? So obviously the sin must have been there before the blindness, or, you know, before birth. So they said, this man or his parents. So they remember, under the old covenant, you got to understand, Jews were living under the old covenant, and God did say, I visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. So they were probably thinking, you know, well, maybe this is the situation here. You know, God has visited the iniquity of the parents upon these children, upon this man. Now, so they said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What's the reason that he's blind? Okay, sometimes you look at, if you got a child that's born with sickness or some kind of disease, you say, well, what happened? Did I do something wrong? You know, or you know, somebody gets sick all of a sudden, and they say, oh, you know, is there something I've done in my life that, you know, brought this on me, or something like that? Now, I understand in the natural, we can understand if you're smoking, you got a good chance to get cancer or whatever the case might be. I understand these things. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God sending a punishment. Okay, there's a lot of people talks about God sending punishments. Let me just take it away from healing for a second. There's a lot of people, remember 9/11. Okay, actually we're coming up close to that now. 9/11, back in 2001, I mean, I've heard more people preach that was God's judgment on America. You ever hear that? Okay. Or, you know, the tsunami over in 2005, wasn't it? Boxing Day or something like that in 2005? The tsunami in Southeast Asia. Well, you know, that's God's judgment over there. I was reading something a while ago. The Christians were preaching that it was God's judgment. You know, and the Muslims were preaching, no, they said it was Allah's judgment because we've sinned. The Christians were believing that God was punishing them because they sinned. The Muslims were believing that God punished them because they sinned. You know, and because, you know, and that's religion. That's what religion thinks. Okay, let me, before we go any further, let's go over to Luke. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, because there's people that believe that because if something bad happens, it's got to be God judging you. You know? And sometimes we believe that God is up there just waiting for us to do something wrong so that he can pour out some wrath against us. The Bible says he reserves wrath for his enemies, not for his family. Okay? He reserves wrath for his enemies. I mean, if you just stop and think about it for a minute. You see what's going on over in Syria right now. You know, like any legitimate government protects its citizens. You know, tyrants and everything else, they killed their own people. If we're saying God is making his own children sick, making his own family sick, we're lining God up with people like these, you know, crazy dictators and everything else. That's not the kind of God we're serving. Okay, we're serving a God that loves us, a God that paid the price for our healing. You know the problem? Our thinking has been so twisted since the fall of Adam. Our thinking is so twisted. The Bible says there's coming a day, and I believe we're living in it, when they will call evil good and good evil. Remember, I think we talked about this somewhere a while ago. Maybe it was last Sunday or sometime the week through the Bible studies, prayer meetings. In the Bible, when Jesus healed people, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, scribes and Pharisees, they came up and they said, he's doing this by the power of the devil. Now you get this? See how twisted their minds were? When Jesus was healing people, they blamed it on, that's the power of the devil for healing. If we see something bad happen today, we call it the power of God. We say that's an act of God. We've twisted everything right around. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you get a storm or something today, well, that's an act of God. It's not an act of God. Okay, it's an act of sin, not sin in the individual. But let me read this here first. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some who told Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now, let me give you a bit of a background. Nobody knows exactly what this story is about right here, because there's not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture, except in Acts chapter 5, the Bible talks about a fellow named Judas of Galilee who would not pay his taxes, and he gathered a group of people around him because he was Jewish. He didn't agree with the Roman government. He wasn't going to pay the Roman government any more taxes. And he came down, and they were down in the temple area. One of the festivals was going on, and Pilate sent some soldiers in and took them, and many of them were killed. Okay, you read that there in Acts chapter 5. Now, so a lot of people think this is what this was referring to right here. Now, whether it was or not, we don't know. But anyway, the Bible says here, there were present at that season when Jesus was talking, some who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. He didn't mean to say they mixed the blood together with the sacrifice, but he's talking about a sacrifice is going on. He went in and slaughtered the people in the temple area, okay, during the sacrifice time. Okay, now, so he says, they told Jesus that, and Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? See, because we got the mentality, if something bad happened, there must have been a bad person. You know as well as I do, bad things sometimes happen to good people. You understand that? Just because something bad happened doesn't mean to say the person was bad. So Jesus said to him, he said, do you suppose that these Galileans, he's asking, what do you think about that? I mean, Jesus knew the difference, and Jesus was going to explain to him. He said, do you think, he said, these Galileans, he said, were worse than the other people, and that's why they got killed? Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? And Jesus tells us, he said, I tell you, no. I mean, that ought to be enough reason here to believe it. Jesus said, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Okay? Now, Jesus wasn't saying they never sinned. He wasn't saying they're absolutely perfect people, but he was talking, there was nothing, no extra bad sin that they did that brought God's judgment upon them. You know, they're just normal people living everyday lives, and these things happen. Now, so he says, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. You'll all perish in your sin if you don't repent. That's what he's saying. You understand that? If you don't repent, you will perish in your sin the same as they did. Okay. Now, some people believe that he's referring to the destruction of Jerusalem, which is about 35, 40 years down the road, when the Roman armies came in and destroyed Jerusalem, and many people were slaughtered and killed and everything else. Some people say Jesus was referring to that. I don't know. But I believe he's referring to, unless you repent, you'll all die in your sin. Okay, now, let's move on. Verse 4. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Apparently there were some people building a tower in Siloam at this time, and I guess the news went around that the tower collapsed and 18 men got killed in the collapse of the tower. Jesus said, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? Right? I mean, that's what people think. Something bad happened, they had it coming to them. You hear people talk like that? It was their own fault. They had it coming to them. Jesus never taught that way. He didn't teach us to see things that way. He says here, he said, I tell you, no. See, they weren't worse than anyone else. This never came on them because of some bad sin that they committed. Again, he says the same thing. He said, but unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish in your sin. Now, you understand what's going on there? So we could say, well, do you suppose over in Southeast Asia back in 2005, that tsunami came in and took, what is it, close to a quarter million people, wiped out in, you know, just one day. Do you suppose that these people were worse than anyone else in the world? Worse than people in North America? No. See, I believe if we take a time to go back to the Garden of Eden, we'll find where all this came from. When God created Adam and Eve, you know the story, God said, it is good. Everything was good. Everything was peaceful. Everything was wonderful. As soon as Adam, because God told Adam, he said, Adam, I think God, you know, Abba said, Adam, listen, I mean, you got a million trees here. Any fruit you want, but there's one tree, don't touch it. Because when you touch that, you're going to unleash the gates of hell, so to speak. You're going to unleash all the corruption, all the evil that's in the world. You're going to have knowledge of evil. And listen, the world don't need that knowledge, okay? Stay away from that. But you know the story. Adam opened up that door, and everything came in. I mean, you just flick over a chapter. All of a sudden, you know, one brother's killing the other brother. This is happening. All these, you know, it's just chaos from that on, you know, from Genesis chapter 3. All because of what Adam did back there. And when Adam sinned and opened up that door for evil to come into the world, evil happened everywhere. The Bible says all creation is groaning, longing for the day of deliverance. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans. The earth itself is groaning, longing for it to be delivered, longing for Jesus to come back and set things straight again, because right now the devil is the god of this world. You understand that? So when you see people like tsunamis and earthquakes and storms and battles and wars and famines and all, that's not an act of God. I mean, this house just next door here, a tree fell down and crushed here a few weeks ago. That's not an act of God. It's an act of the devil, of anything. It's an act of a fallen nature. Storms happen. Things happen. You know, so we need to understand that just because something bad happens doesn't mean to say that the person was bad. You know, I've heard of people sometimes, like a pastor died one time in the pulpit back home. And everybody said, oh, he must have had something wrong in his life. Now, if he died in bed, probably been okay. If he died out in the car or something, probably, but he died in the pulpit, you know, must have been something really bad. And I've heard pastors say, man, that's no better place to die than delivering God's word. You know, so I mean, get real and understand God's word and stop coming up with all these superstitions and foolishness. Base what you believe on God's word. And this is what Jesus is saying. He says, you know, do you suppose he was worse than the other pastor? No. You know, and all these other things that are going on, do you suppose, you know, North America is worse than the Middle East? Anybody got a half brain would have problems solving that one. But you know what I'm saying? So we need to base what we believe on God's word, not on just superstitions and arguments that people use that don't know God's word, don't know how to balance God's word. The Bible tells us to search the scriptures, you know, and rightly divide the word of God. We need to understand what we're living in today, a new covenant, that God has got benefits. We've been talking about them all week in our prayer meetings, the benefits that God has got for us. You know, don't forget the benefits. The Holy Spirit tells us, don't forget the benefits. It's easy for us to forget the benefits, but don't forget the benefits from serving God. Now, let's go back to John chapter 9 again. So they came to Jesus and they said, well, who sinned, this man or his parents? Now it's easier to understand. Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. See, it never came as a result of somebody sinning. Now, I'm going to share something with you, and you can believe it which way you want to. This is the way I see it. The King James and most of the translators puts it this way. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Now, he didn't mean that they never ever sinned. But he was talking about this sickness is not a result of some sin that they've committed. You understand that? So he's saying, neither this man nor his parents sinned that he was born blind. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. The King James, and probably most of the translations, puts it this way, makes it all one long sentence here. I believe there's a pause there. Because you got to understand that when this was written, there was no punctuations and everything else, you know, to explain which way it was. But when they translated it this way. He was born blind so that God's work could be done. Now, I don't see it that way. And I'll tell you why. I don't believe for a minute that God says, well, I'm going to put a blind child in that family, and that family will suffer, and they'll go through all kinds of trouble and everything else. But, you know, I let them live that for about, maybe 38 years or so, and then I'll come along and heal them. I mean, if I did something like that to my children, you did something like that to your children, and the law found out about it, I mean, the evil man law that we're, you know, right, natural people, if they found out about it, they'd take you and string you up, put you, lock you away, if you did that to your children. But why do we say God does stuff like that? I believe this is the way it should be here. And I'm not the only one who believes this. I mean, there's a lot of people that believe the same way. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. There should be a period there. But that the works of God should be revealed in him, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. You understand that? He said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God would be revealed, I must work them. I've got to heal them, in other words. And there's a lot of people who believe this is the way it should have been broken up in that sentence, is that neither this man nor his parents sinned. Because Jesus goes on and tells us that the healing was the work of God, not the sickness. You understand that? The healing was the work of God, not the sickness. The man wasn't made sick by God. You know, and you won't find anything in Scripture to back that up. And sometimes, and I'll say this, man, I'm not even going to get none of the Scriptures beside this one. Sometimes, now we know God is sovereign. Okay, and we hear a lot of people talking about the sovereignty of God. But you know you can take that too far. You can take that so far that every bad thing happens in the world, every bad thing that happens in the world, well, that's God's will. That's God, you know, God's got a purpose in it. You know, I don't believe that for a minute. I don't believe for a minute that every bad thing that happens in the world, God's got a purpose in it. If that's the case, we're like zombies just going around and just robots just following. No, God created us with freedom of choice and everything else, and we have decisions to make and all these different things, and we can bring things on ourselves because of, you know, physical things that we do and things like this. But the thing is, to blame God for every bad thing in the world, you're going back just as bad as the Pharisees who are blaming all the healings that Jesus is doing, saying he's doing it by the power of the devil. Now all the see, we're saying the good things came from the devil and the bad things come from God. That's dangerous ground to be living on. You understand where I'm coming from when I'm saying that? We need to understand, the Bible says every good gift comes from above. Okay? So every good gift comes from, you say, well, maybe some bad ones too. No. Because he said, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turn. God is not good one day, bad the next day, or good and bad the same day, or anything. God is good. Okay, God is love. Okay, now, I heard a fellow years ago. He said, God doesn't send sickness because there's no sickness up there to send down. I mean, if God liked all the bad things, I mean, heaven would be an awful place to live. If God got, you know, his jollies out of making people sick and putting punishment on them and making them crippled and blind and all these different things, I mean, I wouldn't mind to go to heaven. I'd be afraid to get there. Because if God is so mad as that, I mean, he might be just up there zapping everybody all the time. He's telling us how wonderful it is, but you just wait till you get there. I'll show you what it's like. You know, I mean, if God was such a bad person, I'd be afraid to go to heaven. If God was such a bad person, heaven would be filled with hospitals and ambulances and fire trucks. If God was such a bad person. No, we got to understand where these things come from. And the Bible tells us that, you know, in the book of Revelation, you can read it, that when Jesus comes back and sits up his kingdom and the dust is all settled, there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more suffering. You see, because the devil has been dealt with. But until the devil is dealt with, these things are in the world. You understand that? So Jesus is here. But that the works of God will be manifest, I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, the night comes when no one can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had said these things, he spat upon the ground and made clay with the saliva and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now there's another time Jesus spit and touched the man's eyes. Another time Jesus spit and put it on a man's tongue. I mean, Jesus did some, you know, strange points of contact, or whichever you want to call it, you know, in his ministry. But here's the thing about it. He said, when he had said these things, he spit upon the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. And he went and washed and came back seeing. Now, if you read down through that chapter, I wasn't going to, but and I'm not going to read all of it, but if you read down through that chapter, it's not only the blind man was blind. I mean, the disciples were blind spiritually. He said, who's sinned, this man or his parents, that he's born blind? I mean, they're blind to the facts of reality, you know, to the facts of healing and everything else. The Pharisees were blind because they blamed this on the devil. This healing, they blamed on the devil. They said, or gave credit to the devil, we would say. You know, I mean, how twisted we've done stuff. We've taken God's work and says the devil does it. We take the devil's work and says God is doing it. You know, they call evil good and good evil. This is why it's important for us to, the Bible talks about get our minds renewed by the word of God. Because I tell you, if you're listening to the media, if you're listening to, sometimes you even listen to some teaching that's going on in Christian circles. I mean, you don't know if you should pray for healing or maybe God is trying to teach me something. I mean, if you believe God is trying to teach you something, don't go to the doctor. Learn to listen quicker. Get over it. You know, I mean, just use common sense. If God is trying to teach you something through sickness, every doctor on the planet is working against God. Because they're trying to get people well. You understand that? You know, no, God is not trying to teach you something through sickness. Jesus paid for your sickness. We talked about it for the past couple weeks. He bore our sicknesses. He carried our sicknesses. He took them out of the way. He used the same word what he did with our sins, the same exact word he did to our sicknesses. And we need to, you know, get into God's word and understand what God says and believe what he says. And once we get to the place that we believe it, not just say, oh yeah, yeah, I believe that, but I mean, believe it. Just absolutely, there's no other way to see it, only the way that God's word says it. When we believe it, I think then we can start seeing the healings take place. And you might be saying, Pastor, how come you're preaching on healing so much lately? I don't know. But I honestly believe that, you know, we need to get our thinking rearranged. Because I think the devil's having a heyday. And again, we're doing just as bad as the Pharisees. We're blaming it all on God. You know, we're blaming all the bad stuff on God and all the good stuff. We're giving credit to the devil. You know. Let's go down through that chapter a little bit. Verse 8, therefore the neighbors and those who had previously seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? He said, isn't this the fellow that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, well, looks like him. He said, I am he. You know, I mean, they were looking at him. They said, but, I mean, they were blind too. They couldn't understand what was going on. They said, isn't this the fellow that was out there begging? But how come he's seeing now? They said, no, it just looks like him. And he said, no, he said, I'm the fellow. I'm the real guy. He said, I'm the one that was healed, that was blind. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? Well, let's read down a little bit in this chapter. He said, how were your eyes opened? And he answered, a man called Jesus. Now, he didn't even know who Jesus was at the time. But he said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Then they said, where is he? He said, I don't know. And they brought him, who formerly was blind, to the Pharisees. You see how religious... I mean, this man was healed. Jesus healed him. And everybody's questioning, they said, who healed you? Well, a fellow named Jesus. How did he heal you? Well, he spit on the ground, made some mud, and put it on my eye, and told me to go and wash it off. When I did it, I was healed. They said, where's he now? I don't know. You know, and they couldn't understand this, and they said, well, we're going to take him down to the religious leaders. You know, so they took him down to the Pharisees. Now, again, remember, the disciples were blind. The people were blind as to what God was doing. And now you're going to see the Pharisees are blind too. And they brought him formerly who was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. I mean, you know how the Pharisees stuck up for the Sabbath day. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." I mean, here's Jesus healed a fellow, and you know, well, you read a little further down, they said, "We've never seen this happen before." They said, "Well, he's not from God. This is a Sabbath day. He's not supposed to do stuff like that on the Sabbath day." Religion has twisted the truth so much. And this is why God hates religion, because religion has twisted the truth of God's word. Jesus said, "Your traditions, your religion, have made God's word useless, because they believe the traditions more than they believe what God said." You understand that? Then the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight, and he said, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed and I saw." Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division amongst them. Okay, some said, "Well, he's from the devil." Some said, "Well, if he's from the devil, how did he heal anybody?" So there was a division amongst the people. Then they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes." He said, "He is a prophet." The blind man said, he's a prophet. And the Jews did not believe concerning him, and that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called his parents, the parents of him who had received his sight. So they didn't even believe the man that he was healed. They said, "No, this is fake." How many of your people talk about stuff like that? You know, you see somebody get healed sometimes, but that's a fake. That was all planned. You know, so they called his parents in. They wouldn't believe until they called his parents. And they asked them. Now, you got to understand, the parents, they were blind through fear. Okay, you go on down through, look at all these different things. They were blind through fear because they were afraid to give any answers. Because if you believed in Jesus, the word was already gone around. If you believe in Jesus, they'll kick you out of the synagogue, kick you out of church, we would say today. So they didn't want that. Excommunicate you. You've heard that before. Right? So this is what he said. And they asked him, saying, "Is this?" They asked the parents. They said, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" And his parents answered them and said, "We know that is our son, and we know that he's born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know." They said, "He's of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself." See, they were afraid to say much because afraid of getting kicked out. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. So, I mean, you had the same things going on that we have going on in our society today. You know, the very same thing. If you believe a certain thing, if you say something, you know, that's against what we believe, we kick you out. You got to go somewhere else. Man, that's bad. Anyway. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So they again called the man who was blind. I mean, they were trying to get into the bottom of this. They again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." And he answered and said, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know." He said, "One thing I do know, though I was blind, now I see." I mean, you follow the story through? I mean, the Pharisees were so blind, they just would not accept the fact that Jesus healed someone. They tried every reasoning they come up. He's from the devil. He's not from God. You know, give God the glory, but don't that man, you know. And he said, "Well," he said, "whether he's a sinner or not." He said, "I don't know." He said, "But I know one thing." He said, "I was blind. Now I can see." I mean, that's a big difference. Now, then they said to him again, "What did he do, and how did he open your eyes?" And he said, "I told you already, and you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again?" He said, "Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, and we are the disciples of Moses." See, you go back between the covenants now. We believe what Moses said, but we don't believe what Jesus is saying. And they said, "We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." And the man answered and said to them, "Why?" He said, "This is a..." Now, you got to understand, this was the religious leaders that supposed to know all the answers. And here's just a common, you know, Jewish man that was healed, a blind man from birth was healed. And he said, "Well, this is a marvelous thing." He said, "That you do not know where he's from, yet he opened my eyes." You know, but you got to use understand what he said. He said, "This is crazy." He said, "You fellows don't know where he came from, yet he healed my eyes." He said, "Now," he said, "we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has never been heard of, that anyone opened the eyes of one that was born blind. And if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. I mean, this poor man had more sense than all the religious leaders. And they answered and said to him, "You are completely born in sins." See, they still had the same idea. "You're born in sins, and you're teaching us." And they cast him out. I mean, religion, man. And when Jesus heard that he had been cast out, he went and found him and said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" The man answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is now talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may be made blind." Now you understand that? Pastor Marvin was here Friday night for the revival service, and he talked about, if you have ears to hear, listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. If you have eyes to see what God is doing. You know, and Jesus is saying here, he said, for this reason, he said, I came into the world. He said, to give sight to those that are blind, and those who think they can see, they'll be blinded, okay, to the truth. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words, and they said to him, "Are we blind also?" They caught what Jesus meant by this, and he said, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." Now, just to wrap it all up, I know that was a lot of reading and going into the chapter. We have some more questions. We're not going to get into them now, but we will. Next week we'll take it up again. But here's the thing. Some people say, well, you know, what's the reason so-and-so is sick? What's the reason so-and-so came in with this sickness? Now, there could be some physical reason. I'm not saying there's some, you know, not some physical thing that happened, you know, diet or whatever the case might be. I don't know. But I do know this is not a judgment of God. Okay, when someone is sick, it's not a judgment of God. When you're going through battles, when you're going through struggles in your life, it's not a judgment of God. Okay, Jesus already paid the penalty for your sin. If you still got to pay it, that means that God never accepted what Jesus paid for. You understand that? If Jesus already paid for all your sin, paid for all your iniquities, paid for all your transgressions, the Bible tells us that. Okay? He washed them completely away. And if God starts judging you now for your sin, when he's already judged Jesus for them, I mean, that would not even be legal in a court of law. God is not judging you for your sin. Jesus already took the punishment for your sin. I mean, if God is judging you for your sin, it was useless for Jesus to die. This is what Paul talked about, the very same thing. He said, "I don't frustrate," he said, "the grace of God." He said, "Because if salvation comes by all of our works," he said, "Jesus died in vain." So if God is putting all the punishment upon you for your sins, Jesus died in vain. Why did he punish him? You understand? The price has been paid totally. And all we have to do, I mean, the Bible tells us over and over and over, just believe. You know, not stand on your head and quote so many scriptures and you know, memorize this and all. No, he said, just believe the word. Believe what Jesus did. And once we get to the place that we believe and accept the fact that Jesus died for our sins, once we accept that, and same thing with our healing, once we accept the fact that Jesus paid for our healing, I believe we start seeing more healings take place. But we need to believe it. Not just say, well, you know, I grew up in a church and we always believed it. No, I don't talk about that. I'm talking about you personally. We need to believe it and know it just as much as you know your name. We need to know the fact that our sicknesses are dealt with. Okay? And once we start to believe that, we need to understand. I was reading a book yesterday by Lillian B. Yeomans. Now, I don't know if anybody ever heard her talk of her. She was a medical doctor way back. And she was talking about a Baptist minister. She said his tongue at all, inside of his mouth, his throat and everything, it all became sore. And she said his tongue, she said, it sounds gross. She said, but it was literally, she said, just a big pus bag. And she said, it got so big, it was hanging out of his mouth. He couldn't breathe and all these different things. And he went to doctors, and she said, back in that day, the doctor was afraid to do surgery because it was too complicated, and they were afraid that it would, you know. And so he asked the doctor, what are we going to do about it? And he said, well, he said, we just have to wait and see what happens, he said. And so as they're waiting and different things, it was getting worse and worse. And he went back to the doctor and said, can you do anything? He said, nothing I can do. And finally, you know, now this Baptist minister believed in healing. And so he went to the doctor and he said, to the doctor, his wife said to the doctor, she said, can we have the final bill for all you've done for us? And he said, well, he said, I can't give you a bill. He said, because he said, I've never ever done any work on your husband. And she said, well, she said, but the consultations and everything. She said, can we have the final bill? She said, so we pay it. She said, and she said, we're going to another doctor. And the doctor looked at her. He said, well, he said, if you go to another doctor, he said, I would have to consult him. He said, and give him the information. She said, no, we don't want you to do it. He said, well, he said, it's the law. He said, I've got to do it. And she said, no, she said, I don't want you to do that. And she said, this doctor doesn't take consultation. And he said, what kind of doctor is he? And finally she said, listen, she said, we're going to Jesus. She said, he's our doctor. And the doctor didn't know what to say. Well, he said, okay. And he just, I don't know if he'd given a pill or a bill or whatever happened. But anyway, they went, and now Lillian B. Yeomans, she was a medical doctor herself. And she believed in healing, and she was saying, and she would say over and over, she said, if we would have just take this and believe it, she said, and understand that just like any other document, what God says in here, and stand on it and believe it, just like if you read it from a law paper or something else, that this is real. She said, if we believe it that way and act upon it, she said, God will heal. And so anyway, she said, she went, and the doctor, or the pastor, went back to his house, and she said, they went in, and they would take the scriptures and just read them constantly. Just read to him healing scriptures. Read to him until he started to understand that, yes, I am healed. Jesus already paid for this. I don't have to pay for this anymore. You know? And his wife, they said, would you know, do the scriptures and different things. But there was a man from the church that came in, and they said, his wife was so tired from being up, you know, night after night after night, that she just fell asleep. And the man went in, and he sat in the room with the pastor. The pastor's in bed and sick and everything. And he went in, and he sat down with the pastor, and he said he felt the Holy Spirit saying to him, because the man never slept for two or three nights because of so much pain and everything. And he said he was restless and groaning and all these different things. And he said he felt the Holy Spirit say to him, he said, go over, he said, sit on the bed by the side of the pastor. And he said, take his head, and he said, lay it on your chest. And he thought, man, that's weird, you know. To, you know, for a man to do that, different of a woman to do it, for the man. And he said, but he you know, he felt the Holy Spirit saying that, so he went along, and he said he got up on the bed by the side of the pastor, and he reached over, said, and took him up, and he said, put his head on his chest, and he said, just like that, he said, the pastor wouldn't sleep. And he said, he dozed off asleep himself. He said, you know, the pastor, and he said, he dozed off. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, he woke up, he said, this awful smell. He said, it was, you know, I can't remember the word she used now, but anyway, it was absolutely gross smell. It was saturated. And he said, when he woke up, the pastor was there, and he said, "Is this pus ball that, you know, that was there just broke, and it just soaked everything. The bed clothes, the mattress, their clothes and everything. And this is in the middle of the night. And he said, when the wife got up in the morning, the pastor was totally healed, and she said, what happened? And he said, we had to get out, he said, and he said, take our clothes off and everything. And he said, we went out back of the house, he said, and we burned everything. He said, the mattress and everything. He said, we burned it. He said, but the man, he said, was totally healed. And she was talking, she said, that was, I think it was 15 years before. And she said, to this day, he's still healed. Once he understood totally that it was paid for, and he came to the realization, but it never came just because he heard it once or twice. That's why we you know, I'm preaching this over and over and over. I need it just as much as you do. And sometimes I need it more than you do. So if you're getting tired of it, I'm not. I still got to preach it. We need to understand that Jesus paid for our healing. I've been saying it in prayer rooms here sometimes. I believe that when God moves, and I believe that there's going to be a great revival, you know, before Jesus comes back. And I believe we're going to see a healing revival take place again. And we need to start believing for it. We need to start preparing the ground for it and start understanding. And I think, and I know all of us understand this, too many of us are suffering needlessly when Jesus already poured a punishment for us. You know? And I don't even know how to, you know. We need to understand, when Jesus hung on the cross, you know, no matter what your sickness is, let's say, for instance, and I don't want to say this, but you know, for the last couple weeks, I've been stiff back and can't move and everything else, you know. But I've thought of it. You know, when Jesus hung on the cross, I'm sure he had a stiff back. When Jesus hung on the cross, I'm sure he had joint pains. I'm sure his eyes were blurred from everything that was going on. You know, I think when Jesus hung on the cross, you can almost think of any pain, any suffering that you will ever go through. Jesus already paid the price for it. Now, you got to understand, he never did it for himself. He wasn't up there because of him. He was up there because of me. You understand that? You need to look at it that way. He was up there because of me. And put your own self there. He didn't do it for him. He bore my sin. He bore my sickness. The chastisement of my peace was about it. Everything he suffered was for me. Remember here in Isaiah 53, we've been talking about this. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He chastised of our peace was about it. You know, and you can go on and on and on. Everything that I needed, Jesus paid for on Calvary. That's what redemption is all about. He didn't do just a partial job. He did a total job. Whatever Adam loosed and brought into the world, Jesus paid for on that cross. You understand that? We need to start seeing that. And this is like Moses. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And if we can see our sin on Jesus, we can have our sins forgiven. You understand? If we can see our sickness on Jesus, we can be healed. But until we see it, we're not going to experience it. I don't know if it makes any sense to you this morning, but we need to understand the price that was paid for our redemption. Total deliverance, total healing, total forgiveness. Jesus paid totally for us.